Is it too late to say Happy New Year?
It's the middle of January, so too late. Who cares? Happy New Year,
Happy New Year. It probably is, isn't it?
It probably is.
And welcome back to the country, Stuart. You seem to have been away forever.
Yeah, it does seem like that.
Well, it's because you were away forever.
I was away forever. And it's delightful to come back, such beautiful weather.
Yeah.
And January's got so much going for it.
That's right. The building work's all done.
Gardens, maybe.
Cricket was shit. No. Football's even worse. Yes. January's just generally crap.
Yeah. Still, could be worse.
However.
However. We got a little nugget.
A little ray of joy of sunshine has appeared in our lives on the 19th of January at about 10 o'clock at night. Someone around the table is so unbelievably excited that this story
best
has broken.
Day ever.
This is Meghan and Harry on steroids.
It's a dream.
It is an absolute dream. Everyone's texting everyone. Even the non-believer over there to my left, he's excited as well.
Yeah, I had to look it up.
Of course, we are talking about the nuclear fallout in the house. The house of Beckham.
Yes!
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 It has all gone horribly tits up, hasn't it? Because
the bloke finally gets
his knighthood. Was that in the New Year's honour or the King's birthday or whatever? How long has he been Sir David for?
A few months now.
A little while, isn't it?
Must have been in his birthday honours. But I thought I'd better catch up on this because I know a certain lady who's going to be very excited about it, wants to talk about it.
Oh, I couldn't believe it. I could not believe it.
It's just so weird watching the papers referring to Victoria Beckham as Lady Beckham.
Yeah, oh, I didn't even notice that.
They're not
that.
Referring to her as
I'm thinking
posh
about
Victoria, it's Lady Beckham.
No, I want to know how she danced on her son at the wedding.
What was all that about?
Oh, I don't know.
Right,
who knows? Okay, we need to break it down.
Start at the beginning.
Yeah.
We're going to wind you up and you're going to go.
But the thing is, all I kept thinking about was he's just clarifying what we've said from their book. I mean, and I've always been a lover of David Beckham. He was always my go-to. That was my, But that author must be thinking
he's doing the rounds apparently on the television rounds this morning
because
he's now completely justified in what he's written, and everyone said, "Oh, it's just mud raking." Is this no? It's obviously appearing to be completely true. Bit like the what was it Andrew Morton with the Diana stuff?
Yeah.
He's like, "No, actually, stick your fingers up because actually everything I've told you is pretty well true." Mm-hmm. And
but some of it, you do what? Did he write it? Did she write it? But I think it's very sad as well because I've always thought families falling out and it must be half Victoria. That is her son. You know, I'd be devastated if anything like that happened with mine. But would you
behave like that towards yours?
No.
I mean, I've read that they don't like his wife, do they?
No.
Basically. They don't want her marrying that girl. Or it's too late now, he's married her.
Mm.
And it seems to me that they're just sending out information to the press to try to smear them. Is that what's happening?
Yeah, I think the big story about it is that it's kind of like an unknowing secret that everyone knows true, but you've never actually really got any proof.
No.
Is that everyone knows that the Beckham's media machine put out stories, put out stuff to feather the Beckham image and the perfect family, etc., etc. It's all brand Beckham. Everything's to do with the brand. And he's now firmly come out. And it's not come out from someone who may know. It's actually come out from their eldest son.
Yeah.
And he's actually confirmed what everyone has suspected for years and years, that they basically feed the media what they want.
Mm-hmm.
It's all a bit of a facade.
Mm-hmm.
And basically their eldest son has now confirmed it.
Yeah.
And apparently they did not know it had come out. Their friends had to tell them, sort of message them,
have you seen what
Brooklyn's book out? And they apparently had to read it wherever they were.
I'm sure there's that recollections may vary comment. You know, they might, they must be scrambling like
but
crazy.
But I suspect
now that
they will not put anything out.
I don't think they will either.
They will be a bit like the royal family, never put anything out, never do this. Because, of course, They can't. And I suppose at the end of the day, Brooklyn has one even more nuclear option up his sleeve. He can tell everyone the ramifications of what really goes behind the door. And, mm-hmm. of course, when she's suspecting him of shagging half of the country. Mm. And, of course, he's still got that. If you read that book, it kind of gives the impression that Brooklyn is well aware of what his daddy's really like when it comes to the opposite sex. Mm-hmm. So, of course, they'll still need to be very careful. So I'll be surprised if they come back with any sort of retaliatory statement.
Yeah. I'm not sure they will.
I think they just need to keep their heads down.
Just keep their heads down and keep quiet. And then the other thing I saw today, which just puzzles me immensely, another bloke's done very well. I know he's done, obviously built up several things, or his advisors have. What is the fuck is that man doing at the Economic Forum in Davos? What is David Beckham doing at the World Economic Forum?
Well, he certainly knows how to make money, doesn't he? I mean,
but it's like,
I know,
world powers.
Yeah.
Serious things to be said at the moment in the world politics.
I know.
And Bex is there. like, what the fuck? How has he got an invitation?
Yeah, well, he's obviously...
Dave, give us your opinion on what's happening in Greenland now, please.
Yeah.
Let me just ask Victoria.
Yeah, let's ask Victoria. We better ask all the advisors behind me. Well, where's Greenland?
Yeah.
But he did say a few things that were a bit weird when he said about them wanting him to give up his name or something. That was confusing.
Well, in the book, it says about they have trademarked all their kids' names and likenesses.
Oh,
yeah, they have. Mm. Likenesses, Instagram, everything that to do with their kids. And it, to do with the name. And, of course, one of the things they didn't like about her is they wanted her to not take his name, didn't they? Or to not... They're not the Pelt Beckham. They just wanted her to be Beckham, didn't they?
They wanted another Beckham.
They wanted another Beckham, didn't they? And they thought, oh, well, she's only using the Beckham name. Mm. And, of course, it must be very hard for them because, of course, on one hand, the Beckhams are eminently more famous in this family. Eminently less rich. I mean, this bloke is seriously rich, and he's a real heavy hitter in American...
Mm. What does he do?
He's a hedge fund investment.
Oh, I see.
So he
right.
owns tons of companies.
Yeah.
I mean, Jackie's had sort of semi-deals with his companies. I mean, he's an absolute Rottweiler.
Right.
In the kinds of business. So I suspect a lot of what they do, you know, will be checked, double-checked, lawyers, this, that, the other. So I suspect they're clearly...
I wonder if he ran it past anybody before he did it.
I suspect he almost certainly did.
Yeah.
And, of course, the other...
He'll have his own advisors as well, won't he? I'm sure even somebody as facile as Brooklyn Beckham has got...
Sir Brooklyn?
Yeah.
Because he deserves a knighthood for this.
He will have advisors and a PR team of his own, surely.
Yeah, he'll use theirs, if nothing else, I'm sure. Mm. He'll be well advised. And of, you know, what you've put out, you check it, you double check it.
But I did see on Instagram this morning they showed a clip of when they were on the carpet for the Beckham Netflix documentary, and they're trying to get Nicola to move towards them. And you can see Brooklyn's really struggling.
Sorry, who's Nicola?
The wife.
Brooklyn's wife. Okay.
Trying to get her to move in towards, towards his mum and dad. And David kind of sees, and you can see Brooklyn struggling. You know, it does look like he's nervous trying to get her to move in. And Victoria will not move. She won't move her shoulder. She's adamant. So maybe he did have this overwhelming anxiety.
It's a sad state of affairs, isn't it? When you've got a couple of 50-year-olds
family
who are rich beyond their wildest dreams, and they can't think, well, let's just enjoy the rest of our life with our family. It's still running like a business, and they need more and more and more and more. I mean, they're worth about $500 million or something, aren't they? I mean, huge
amount of money now.
About 500 million. I mean, how much money could he possibly need? Why can't he just live a fairly normal life now?
It's very sad. I wonder how the rest of the kids, because now Cruz is promoting his music, isn't he?
But he's brought the kids into it. He said, well, you know, my brothers have been used to attack me as well, my this. Mm. So there probably is an element of slight whinginess, because I suspect there's always two sides to every
argument.
And
no one ever really is going to know, are they? But
the things that, of course, come out about it, he's finally squealed the beans on, they're more interested in the brand than they are about anything else. They'll love you because how much time and how stuff on social media, and how you'll pop up to all the events to take the picture of the perfect family. Mm. All this sort of stuff.
He said he did try
out
and see his dad for his 50th, but he wanted to be doing it quietly in a hotel room. But he'd only see him if it was at the party in front of everybody.
In front of all
just
the cameras. And he wouldn't see him with her. Mm. We're like, we won't see it. So you imagine. Now, listen, it must be, if you end up if your kids end up marrying someone who you can't stand, that isn't great. And I'm sure obviously my wife's family clearly agree. Shit, she's marrying him. But they've got over it over the years. But I think, joking aside, if your kids marry someone who you really can't stand or you think they're terrible, that can't be much fun. But
I thought there was a time though when her and Nicola were dancing on the dock and all being
all this sort of stuff. Chummy, and then, of course, all that, you know, they've rehashed all the stuff about the wedding dress and all this sort of stuff. So there may be an element of whinginess about it. But it is just finally, for once, laid bare what everyone has thought.
The thing is, there are so many aspects to their lives that you can't possibly relate to and you can't understand. But the one thing you can relate to is, can you imagine you get married and you're about to have the first dance with your wife, which it happens at any wedding, whether it's cost £1,000 or £1,000,000. And your mum jumps up and gets in between you.
I could see myself
dancing inappropriately.
Not the inappropriate dancing, but I do like in America when they always have the mother of the groom and the groom always dance together. But that's further down the line. The first one is always for the couple, isn't it?
Yeah.
But that's just making it all about yourself. But it just shows, obviously, that they're just enormous, enormous control freaks. Mm-hmm. Everything has to be done with their narrative. And then, of course, when you go into a family of the wealth of the Peltzes, it's not done on your narrative.
Yeah.
And everyone who was there, and in this book,
it
says the distance between the families at this wedding was almost obscene.
Yeah.
It was like you're over one side of the ballroom, they're over the other side of the ballroom, and they didn't mix, they didn't mesh, because apparently there was just a lot of offishness from the very beginning.
Yeah.
So old Tom Bowers has done very well out of this.
Yeah, I bet.
And then, of course, the double nuclear options come out, and, of course, they've gone to Rebecca Lewes, haven't they? She's come out today.
That's quite exciting.
Come out today. So she's come out.
Taking advantage to make herself a few grand.
Oh, good girl.
And she's obviously supporting Brooklyn, saying, well, I'm really pleased that he's finally got his own voice. He's finally standing up for himself. And he said, and basically, I know how hard it is to deal with these two on subjects like this.
Yeah, because she's been shut down so much.
And this sort of stuff, once the press stuff gets out. And basically, everyone's saying, we know now that you do feed the press what you want to tell them when you need to tell them. And then she's also come out with his line. She said, basically, the truth will always come out.
Mm.
However long it takes, the truth will always come out.
Yeah.
So basically, on a scale of 1 to 10, I am putting my fist thoroughly in the air as a member of Team Brooklyn.
Oh, yeah.
Are you?
I am Team Brooklyn.
I'm not good on commitment. But I feel like,
come on, fence sitter. Where are you going?
Yeah, well, I'd like to think, sorry, I keep coughing. I'd like to think that as a mum and a son, they can try and sort it out. But I do think, I think I might be going towards old Brooklyn here,
Well, I knew nothing of it until I read the thing on the BBC today.
You haven't lived.
And if you believe what he says, you've got to be on his side.
Yeah.
You've got to be Brooklyn's side. If you believe...
He's going to come
Obviously, they haven't had their say yet, so
but they're
knows?
In an awkward position, but, really, because it's still their boy, isn't it?
But, it doesn't look good, does it?
It's a terrible look for them that they're going to struggle.
I went to the palace and thinking, fucking hell, he's been off that night for 30 years.
Finally gets
We finally give it to him, and now look what's happened. The bloody manure's hit the fan, hasn't it?
I know, and I bet I bet Harry and Meghan are thinking, good, someone else has taken up some shit for a while.
Probably.
Yeah.
You can take it off of us.
Anyway, that's enough of him. Who's died?
Well, it's almost a case of who hasn't died. who's left in between our last podcast and our last time we've seen you? There's been so many people who have died.
Excuse me.
Right.
Right. Celebrity snuffed it.
Okay.
Died yesterday, Valentino, the fashion designer.
He did, I don't
And he
really...
made her dress, didn't he?
He did, in the end. He did, in the end. She has to go out and get one off
in the
peg.
In the 11th hour.
In the 11th hour to go out and get the peg. The billionaires just went out. Phew, we've happened to find there's a couple left on the rack. So he died yesterday. Really, really.
They seem to live a long time, these fashion designers.
Yeah, he was 93,
wasn't he? Yeah, he was really old. Really, really sad news. Incredibly sad news. Gil Gerard died.
Gil
Gerard.
That's what's his name, isn't it?
It is.
Buck Rogers,
it
isn't
is
it?
Buck Rogers.
I was going to say, I have no idea who
Buck Rogers
talking about.
In the 25th century.
Oh, dear. And he made it to the 21st in the end.
He did.
He couldn't have been that old.
He was in his 80s. He was 83 or 84, really? And even though it was maybe in real life, he got to snog Wilma Deering. And what a lucky fucker he was for doing that.
Oh, that's true. Wilma Deering was one of your celebrity crushes.
Every young boy's pervs when they were young. As the generation previously would clearly be upset when Brigitte Bardot died.
Yeah, that's very true, yeah. Although she turned out to be a bit of a racist
nutcase. She was a bit of a racist nutter at the end, wasn't she?
Yeah.
Oh, totally, yeah. She'd have been too right-wing for reform.
Big fan of Marine Le Pen.
Oh,
yeah.
I'm looking on Instagram, sorry. I'm distracted.
What's come out now in the last 15 minutes?
I'm just trying to see. Sorry,
so she's.
Yeah.
And then a couple of musicians, one bloke from The Cure died.
Yeah.
The bloke from The Grateful Dead died. He wasn't an original member of The Cure, was he? But they both.
I'll tell you who
died,
and I can't remember the name of him, so we'll look it up. But the bloke who played Zed in Pulp Fiction.
He's on my list.
Is he?
He's on my list. He's the next. He's two down. Peter Green.
Peter Green,
Australian accent. He played Zed. He was also in The Mask.
He was the villain in The Mask.
Which is a great film, The Mask.
It is a great film.
Absolutely great film. He won't be driving home for Christmas anymore.
Oh,
Chris Rea.
What a time for... Mind you...
Just before
Christmas.
I mean,
the Beckham's marketing team would have loved it, wouldn't they? Can you imagine if they could have... They could have almost, you know, to... just coming up to Christmas for Chris Rea to die at that point.
Yes.
Just perfect.
Yes, he'll be jumping up the old celebrity royalty list when the checks get sent in May.
Yeah.
He'll be doing it. So Chris Rea, he was only 74, but he'd not been a well man at all.
No, he was very... He was ill for a long time.
He had not been ill. And incredibly sad for me, and I genuinely was really run out of it when Billy Bonds died.
Yeah, that was sad, wasn't
really?
It? Billy Bonds, anyone over there?
Billy Bonds? Billy Bonds, Clout Blue Army. 6 foot two, eyes of blue. Billy Bonds is after you. Oh, for fuck's sake. That almost sums up your life. You're fascinated by the Beckham Pelts disaster.
Who is he then? I might remember.
He's one of my all time heroes. He was the West Ham captain. From the 70s and 80s.
I don't know him.
He's pretty famous. Yeah, he was famous.
He's one of the best players never to play for England.
He was in the squad a few times, but he never actually made on.
And
he was injured.
He played about 800 games for you, didn't he?
He's the highest ever player. Yeah, yeah.
That's not Tim Henman. I always feel bad that he never won Wimbledon.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Because you said he never played for England.
Tim Henman
did.
No, he didn't die. But I always feel a bit sad that, like you're saying,
he got to the semi-final an awful lot.
Of course,
he kept on coming up against Pete Sampras, didn't he?
He just basically people who are better than him.
If he'd have ever, he only ever got himself up to number 4 or 5 in the world tops. If he'd have managed to get himself second seed at Wimbledon, he could have avoided Pete Sampras till the final.
Yeah. And it was one of those things, wasn't he? It was that sportsman's nightmare where it was like, oh, he's bound to win it one day. He's bound to win it. A bit like Jimmy White, wasn't the snook. He's bound to win it one day. And then, of course, you're like, chances are running out now. You're not going to do it.
Of course, the big one with Tim Henman was when the year that Goran Ivanisevic won, Tim Henman played him in the semi-final and he was a set and and then it started raining.
It rained. Yeah,
and
he was well ahead.
And then they came on the next day and Ivanisevic's serve Sunday started working again and then he beat him.
He had all the momentum,
and then eventually Ivanisevic actually won. Well, that was sort of his big chance because
he slipped away.
Patrick Rafter had knocked out Pete Sampras.
Someone had knocked out Sampras. Yeah. Anyway, so he does.
Sorry.
We should say Tim Henman isn't dead.
No.
He isn't dead yet. Guitarist Steve Cropper.
Oh,
he died
from the Blues Brothers.
He died.
Blimey.
As also did the Squeeze drummer Gilson Levis.
I didn't know Gilson Levis had died. I knew he'd retired.
Yes. Yes.
God, he must have been very ill then, must
he? Yeah, well, clearly.
What's that? The tombstone of Spike Milligan. Yeah.
I told you I was ill.
Yeah. I didn't know Gilson had actually
died. Yeah, he died.
Oh, what a shame.
Vice President Dick Cheney, he died.
Yeah, that's true.
He had died. And really sad.
If only a certain other American politician would die.
That would be good
for everyone, wouldn't it?
Oh, yeah. Jesus Christ, yeah. Pauline Collins died.
Yeah, I know.
Shirley Valentine.
Yeah, that was a great film, wasn't it?
That was a great
film. That was sad, actually,
really, and of course, she kind of, for the older generation, she was in Upstairs, Downstairs. That's how she came to fame. That's how she came to fame with her and John Alderton.
She was sort of famous for being John Alderton's wife, in a way.
Or they were kind of like a famous pair, weren't they?
Is he still alive?
Yeah, he's but she's 85. She
really?
Was 85, Pauline Collins. So I know we're getting older, but you kind of think, bloody hell, that's really old. So basically,
that was a lot.
That's quite a long list of celebrities.
Yeah, mind you, we haven't been around because we have to admit at this point that we did the Christmas one slightly in advance so you could go to Australia.
Well, possibly. That's trade secrets. You shouldn't really be telling everyone.
I think they might have worked it out at that point. Because we said Stuart's going out for the Ashes and people might have thought, hang on, there's already been two of those.
I know, we're already 2-0down.
And how was it?
It was very nice. Australia's still very nice. Cricket was unbelievably disappointing. I won't bander on for your sake, Elena, about why and the wherefores of why they were so. But I mean, the arrogance is off the scale for them of just what their preparation, you know, really stupid. What was really upsetting is, for example, everyone's got to Perth. Perth holds 60,000. There's got to be 25,000 English Poms there. Yeah. It's hugely full. And you speak to people and you realise this is their retirement present. This is their proper trip of
people
a lifetime.
Spent their life savings
to go to the Ashes. It's like a real bucket list thing.
Yeah.
I've got one test, two tests. And then they play like cavalier crap cricket like they did. And the Australians just think we're mad. Yeah. They think, well, you can do what you like. You can play this stupid brand of cricket. Do what you like because we're going to win and we'll just beat you, which they did.
Yeah. And they're not, I wouldn't mind. But they're not even that good a side, are they?
And so many people went out for the Ashes this time because they thought it should be really, really close for once. And it should be really exciting. Yeah. And when you see this, you think the sides are pretty evenly matched.
Somebody said, if you put, I think it might be Jonathan Akin, who said, if you put the two teams down on paper and you were to choose the team, you would have more Englishmen
possibly,
in that team.
Possibly. So, but it was really like, you know, end of the first test, you know, it's over in 2 days.
Yeah.
You know, smart people on their phones, when they realise the game's not going to go, certainly the very least, into the morning of day three, they're all booking up all the golf courses. So there's no golf courses to play on because everyone's thinking, well, what are we going to do? We've got 3 days left in Perth. And so everyone's going to Rottnest Island. Everyone's going to Fremantle. So Fremantle, the day after, is just full of disgruntled Poms.
Yeah.
Just walking around Fremantle and Rottnest Island.
Because I suppose you've
there's nothing else to do.
So you've just got to hang around for a few days.
You're just hanging around for 2 or 3 days. But I saw some people, because, of course, Saturday night, everyone then bombs into the casino because the casino's got all these banks of tellies. And, of course, a load of people are watching their football teams. It's sort of like 11, 12, 1 o'clock in the morning, which I was. And you start speaking to people and you realise how much money.
Yeah.
Yeah, I retired 6 months ago. I've taken 15 grand out of my pension pot for me and my wife to come. We were only able to do this test match. We're going here and on the way back through Asia. And that's what we're doing. And I've you know, what a waste. It's over in 2 days.
Yeah.
And stuff like this. And it's really, people are really, really frustrated.
Yeah.
So, and the same again in Melbourne.
Yeah.
2 days in Melbourne. And yeah, no, it's fucking crap.
Can you imagine going down to Melbourne actually right in the middle of Christmas? You give up Christmas as well to go to Melbourne because that one starts on Boxing Day.
Mm.
And then that happens.
I know. So I saw some great stuff, saw some people. I had a very nice time. But
you went to Bali, didn't you?
I did go to Bali. I skipped Melbourne. So the one test that they did win, I didn't go to.
Oh, no.
I didn't go to. So I did it, So I did that. So, yeah, Bali was lovely. Mm. It's changed quite a lot since we were there. But
is that where you saw the monkeys?
Did see the monkeys in the Ubud Monkey Forest. They're fucking scary.
Are they?
They're really scary.
Yeah, they're quite tame, aren't they? They're not frightened at all, are they?
Yeah, but you're not allowed to look at them. No food, don't look at them. Sort of don't make eye contact. I mean, one sort of jumped up on this person's shoulder and Jackie's like, gosh. I think, go on, do it. Go on, Mark. I'll buy you a big bag of peanuts if you do it.
They look cute.
They do look cute in the pictures. But when we went, you know, 30-plus years ago, you just kind of walked into a monkey forest.
Yeah.
But now there's a great big visitor centre and it's a big tourist attraction. Mm. So they've obviously done all that. But it rained. Bali rained a lot. But it was very, very nice.
Was
back
it
to
the
Sydney.
Rainy season or were you
it
just
was
unlucky?
Coming towards the end of the rainy season, yeah. And then it was back to Sydney for New Year's.
That looked amazing. Yeah. Where you saw the fireworks.
That film that you did, was that from the top of a hotel? Or were you up a hill somewhere?
Ben and Judy, really good friends of ours. Their dad, Ben's dad, has a place, a lovely apartment in the rocks. Looking over.
Right.
So we were watching from their balcony. And the nice thing they do is they do a 9 o'clock fireworks for the kids.
Oh, that's
a good idea.
So you get like about a 20-25 minute fireworks at 9 o'clock. So we've got that. And they had a few friends around and we just had a bit of a sort of mini party, which was really nice of them to do that for us. And then at 12 o'clock, you get the big one, which goes on for about 30 minutes.
Yeah.
And it is incredible.
I hadn't realised that it went off from so many buildings. It was going off all over the place, wasn't it?
It goes off. It was incredible. So that was great. And then, of course, Test match. Joe Root got another 100. That was great. Bethel got 100. That was great. Mrs. Simmons did the Sydney Harbour Bridge Walk. That was very impressive.
Yeah.
So how many days did Mrs. Simmons join you at the cricket?
First two.
Right.
First two. So, yeah, no, she enjoyed it.
Good.
So that was what she said she did.
How much was a pint of beer in Sydney cricket?
I wouldn't drink it because it's just... I'm not a beer boy.
Right.
But it's shit. It's just... horrible,
right?
Yeah,
Swan Lager, isn't it?
It's just various ones of the various brews near, but it's disgusting, gassy shit.
Right.
So no, not for me, not really. But yeah, I mean, your diet when you're at the Test match is shocking. Your
pies,
4 and 20
some
pies,
sauce in it
for if you want it. Yeah, there's a pies ice cream, bit of fish and shit. So it's just awful, just awful.
And as much of a rip off as they are in
totally.
British grounds.
Totally.
Yeah.
Ticket price is not quite as bad as they are here.
Yeah.
But still. But a big shout out, I have to say, to Viagogo. Everything worked. Right. Everything turned up on time. All good.
Not often Viagogo.
No, I have to say, everything's through Viagogo and they're all very good. Mm. So delighted to come back. Singapore, lovely.
Yeah,
Singapore,
nice.
Yeah. Ever get the chance to go to Singapore?
Street
as a hub.
Food in Singapore.
Oh,
lovely.
My God. Lovely. Yeah. Went to Raffles.
Yeah, yeah, I've been there.
Went to Raffles. Yeah. And so nice. So, yeah, kind of felt I was away a little bit too long.
Right. Did you miss your dogs?
I did miss. I always miss my dogs.
See, so I take it you'll be hanging around in the country for a good 2 or 3 months.
But we're going out to South Africa to see Stuart and Jackie.
Are you?
Yeah?
You are.
Another holiday. God, I don't know how the bloody NHS copes.
And we're going to Mallorca as well, for a long weekend.
Twice. Would you say that classifies now as mild stalking?
Yeah, I think it does. Yeah.
Mild stalking from you?
But
I saw
a couple of ladies yesterday at work who are from South Africa, and they said, oh, are you sure there's an awful lot of flooding? There've been a lot of flooding.
They have been up in Johannesburg.
So we're flying to Johannesburg, and then we're going to Kruger National Park to do safari. And they were like, oh, we might want to rethink that. Because
But you're not going till April.
April, yeah.
It'll have gone by then.
Hope so.
Yeah, no. You'll have a fantastic
April will be
time.
Early autumn. That'd be nice.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's, so I'm doing that. My friend's coming over from California, so I've got a week in London with her.
First week
of February.
She's not taking you to France?
Yeah, and then I'm going to France.
Oh, you're going to Paris anyway.
Yeah.
Oh,
this skipped our attention.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to be too vocal about it, but so I'm living in Mayfair for a week.
So you're living in Mayfair for a week?
Yes.
You're sacking off Cookfield.
Yeah, stuff that. And then I'm going to Paris for a few days. Yeah, and I've got a few nice... Sheena and I, we're going to go away with our other halves. They're going to be driving through South France. We're going to go meet them for a few days. So nice little pockets of breaks lined up. But I need to at this time of year. I need to have something to look forward to.
It's not happening this time of year, is it?
But I'm having... the plans so that I've got something to look forward to.
Okay.
Yeah. But I am looking forward to South Africa and the boys are coming too.
Lovely.
So, yeah. Yeah.
So that'll be during the Easter holidays, will it, when they're not at uni?
Yes.
Or will you just take them out of uni and pay the fine?
Well, they're never there. They went back on after Christmas on the 13th for a week and then finished for 2 weeks. They haven't got any, I don't know, exam week or reading week.
Reading week.
What courses are they doing?
Sports business, sports management.
Right.
Yeah.
That would be it. Because Joel did astrophysics and he was there all the time. Because I think you're in labs the whole time. You're always, it's not so much you're not doing so many essays and just reading. You're actually down in laboratories and
but
things like that.
That sounds like it's really quite academic.
He sort of works with one of his professor's old students who works out in America. And he's like a mentor for Joel. And he messaged him and he said, okay, so we're doing a visit to some observatory in Hawaii. I think you should join us. So Joel sent us a message saying, there's a mountain in Hawaii with my name on it. Anyway, he's all very excited.
Yeah.
He's gone back to this bloke and says, well, it will take me, I don't know, we've got to get this sorted out. I need to get me ESTA or whatever it's called.
Esther.
I'll get everything all sorted out. And then the bloke basically got back to him and said, oh, I think you got the wrong end of the stick. You could just join us remotely.
Oh, no.
Because, of course, what these gigantic, great big observatories, you don't sort of look through a telescope. It's all on screens. So, of course, as long as somebody's doing the right thing at that end, you may as well just be in there with them because you got your screen in the office. And so, he said he will try and see if he can get out there. But he did think because he gets a certain amount of budget that they get every year for travel for certain things like that. And he was thinking, Christ, that's going to take up a lot of my budget. I don't know how I'm going to cope with that.
That's classified as the unnecessary travel budget.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So anyway, he was a bit disappointed with that.
It's a shame.
Yeah, but there you go. Anyway, we need to go off for a break because we're half an hour in.
Oh, boom. Yeah. Anyway, we're going for a one breaker today.
Yeah, just a one breaker, and we'll have a look at our notes and work out where we're going to go.
Let's see
next.
If anything incendiary as Beckham's has happened.
Yeah, I'm going to have a quick look.
See if I can upset Mrs. Wake with a quiz she doesn't want to do. We'll have a go at that. So we'll be back in a couple of minutes.
We're back.
We are.
We are back, and we have a statement, apparently, from the House of Beckham.
Oh, do we?
It does, and it goes along the lines of variations on the theme. Apparently, Brooklyn, you are an ungrateful little...
No.
No, it's not been confirmed nor denied. No. This actually has come out of the House of Beckham, but I suspect that's what's going on around the breakfast
table.
We
can confirm something's come out of Stuart's mouth there. And when you finally listen to this, hopefully Alex might have done something about it. We'll see. So, what have you been watching then? We all like to know what Ilona's been watching.
Well, I decided that everybody had been talking about Stranger Things and I've never watched it. So I've been binging that over Christmas.
Have you?
And I've got to season four and I'm like, okay. It's been good. The first season was good. The music is good.
Great 80s flashback.
Yeah, it is. That's why I really like that because it's real 80s. Real Housewives of Potomac I've gone on to. That's good. And also, and your daughter got me on to Mormon Wives.
Sounds like some sort of porn site.
Is that the Real Housewives of Salt Lake City or is this something different?
Something's different. Yeah, I'm caught up with Salt Lake City, right. Which has been
so this
fantastic.
One's just called Mormon Wives.
Yeah. Is it something else? I don't know, but it's Mormon Wives. It's on Disney, so I have to watch it.
We meant to see the Book of Mormon again.
Oh, it brilliant. Is good, isn't it? Like,
I mean, that must be the third time Jane's seen it. Brilliant. It's so funny.
It is so funny.
But do you know what? We are convinced that they've slightly watered it down.
Oh.
We think it's not quite as offensive as it was. And I think Jane said she read somewhere that, I mean, it's been out, probably 15 years now.
Easily, yeah.
And that maybe people's tastes are slightly less tolerant.
Yes.
To some of it, and they have watered it down. Yeah, ever
I probably saw it when it first came out, and
it's one of the funniest things I've ever seen.
Wet myself, but some of it is like really so near to the knuckle.
It is. Yeah.
But then some of the, I mean, I've been rewatching one or two when I was away, one or two South Park bits. Some of that is so bloody funny, but it is very, very near to the knuckle.
What I just remembered, we've also caught up with Landman. Do love that. Do you know, AJ just loves and adores that so much.
I watched that on the plane from London to Perth. I watched the whole series. I'd seen
it's
the first
so good. The
couple,
second season is good.
And I haven't seen the second, but I watched the whole of the first season on the plane from London to Perth and love it.
It's so good.
Strange, I know nothing about it.
Oh, so
it's
like
basically
it.
Yellowstone, but with oil. It's written by the same bloke.
It's like it's written...
Billy Bob Thornton. It's fantastic.
Right. It is. And it's every time we watch it, it's like where we used to live. It is Bakersfield.
What, like Hazel Teeth?
Bakersfield in California.
Yeah, totally, yeah,
it
absolutely.
It is so like... Even the way they've done the colour, the dust and the...
Yes.
It's very good. And he's brilliant.
It's been very cleverly written. And he does a couple of speeches... which basically sort of stick the sort of climate change things right up people's arses.
Right.
That's
about
good.
You may want to do this or that, but this is what happens in the real world when right. it comes to oil and how much we need oil.
Yeah.
So it's worth seeing for that alone.
That's good.
So I haven't started series two.
It's good. We just finished it. And Runaway. Have you seen Runaway on Netflix? James Nesbitt.
All right, go on. That go was... a bit further. Did you...
I thought it was all right, actually. I quite liked it.
It was shit.
Did you?
God, I once again, this is something I don't watch, and I heard it wasn't very good.
Well,
I've heard the opposite, I think, and I liked it,
so I'm you can shove that your bums.
The Guardian gave it one of its top 10 worst programmes of
really?
The year.
Really? I liked it.
I think he is one of the worst actors
no.
on the planet. No. He's so no. bad. And it was so stupid about... what he actually does, you know, to try and solve this mystery. It's like, you're just such a knob.
Oh, I didn't like the policeman. To be fair, the policeman was pretty awful. His acting was awful.
So,
but the rest of it was really good. Oh, that's a Night Manager.
That started. I'm too into that, so I've got to. I'm going to give
good.
You something that you have to watch.
Yeah, but you
I'm
said giving, something no, no, the other no, day, and it was a, rubbish.
Shut up. A full Stuart guarantee, and that is all her fault.
Oh.
It's with the girl who's in Succession.
I've seen that advertised.
It's just brilliant.
Right.
You can watch it as well.
It's when a child goes missing.
A child goes missing. I don't like a lot of things where kids go missing. I've got a bit of an ick about that. But it's with the girl who was in Succession, Sarah Snook, and it's five or six episodes of it. It is just brilliant. I watched the first one when I was in Brisbane, and then I was off to Adelaide, and luckily it was on the next telly in the next hotel, and I just thought, well, I'm not particularly doing anything the next day. I'm going to watch this till 5 o'clock in the morning. I just couldn't put it down. I said, like, I need to know what happens. It gets more and more riveting as it gets on, and I thought I have to know what happens.
Oh, I should go back to that then, because I just
absolutely.
Started.
Absolutely, that's 100% Stew Guarantee.
That you said was absolutely brilliant, and I didn't enjoy it. It's about those girls who
Wild
are at
cherries.
School. Yeah.
Are they awful?
I thought it was rubbish.
No, I said that the girls in it, you hate every single one of them.
Yeah, but I didn't really like the show, the programme.
No, but it's got a brilliant twist at the end. Did you last to the end?
Yeah.
You didn't switch over to the Real Housewives of Bumhole Central and all this sort of stuff?
That could have happened, but no. Or Below Deck is good as well. I'm watching that.
How do you get time to watch all these things?
Well,
is this ironing time?
I was ill. Ironing.
Ironing time.
I always do ambulance with ironing. But I was ill after Christmas so I sort of binged quite a few. But don't forget, AJ's watching sport on another television, and I'm just binging all my rubbish.
Right.
No, all my stuff that I enjoy in the other room. Yeah.
And I watched the other thing I saw on Netflix. I can't actually remember what she's called. So that's no use to anybody.
Listeners.
I'm really sorry. Had Eric Banner and Sam Neill sort of sit in the wilderness. Untrustworthy, unfounded, something like that. That was all right. I watched that when we were away. That's a... again, another six-parter.
These series out, don't they? It seems to me that every time we get together, there's another one that you're able to
there's
watch.
There's loads still. His and Hers, apparently, is very good. I've got that
I've
to watch.
That.
Hannah, I've got a massive thumbs up for Hannah for that.
Oh, okay.
His and Hers, apparently, is very, very good.
I'm going to write these down.
And there's loads of stuff. And the one I really want to come back is I really want The Gentleman to come back.
Oh, so yeah.
I really want that to come back.
That's coming out this year. Oh,
is
that Tom Hardy, isn't it?
No, that was Moblands. That was dog shit. That was dog shit.
Right.
He was about the only good bit in it.
Is Charlie Hunnam in the TV version of The Gentleman?
No, it was Theo James, the very unattractive Theo James.
Right, never heard of him.
Yeah. I went out with my family and my brother and sister and everybody for my dad's birthday, and we were in 180 in Cookfield. Really nice, having nice brunch, and my brother went, oh my god, Elena, there's Tom Hardy over there. I was like, what? He said he's just walked past to go to the toilet. You wait for him, he's going to come out in a minute. He's definitely, and I was really unnecessary because I absolutely love him. This guy walked out. He was so
looked more like Oliver Hardy.
He was just my brother. It's nothing like
him. I'm not being funny.
Not
I can't believe that at your age you're still falling for the shit like that your brother keeps pulling. He's been pulling gags like that since you were a child.
Did he do it to wind you up?
Yes.
No, he didn't. I don't think he did. He genuinely believed it was Tom Hardy.
I did that with Jackie, and I saw someone in this bar in Sydney that I was fucking certain it was this person who I will remember in a minute. And I then looked and she just gave me the look of, no, it isn't, you absolute twat.
That's AJ, though. He and thinks he spots famous people all the time and it's not
this,
them.
I look back at this person, I'm like, what was I thinking? It doesn't look like you at all. I'm really sorry.
I did bump into Frankie Bridge, you know, Wayne Bridge's wife. She does Loose Women.
Oh, yeah.
And she was really lovely in the toilet in London.
This really...
She was really lovely. Her skin was gorgeous.
You didn't tell that well. You bump into someone in a random London toilet and comment on their skin. Well, that's just so scary.
But I'm sure she was very pleased that I said so. Did you tell her that
her skin was gorgeous?
Yeah. I said, oh, my God, you're gorgeous in real life. Your skin's lovely. And she was, oh, that's so nice.
She
was like, oh, thank you.
Yeah, it's just a nice
exchange. I'm not
actress
in the slightest, but now, of course, you've made me feel like that.
Be quiet.
Anyway, I've been to the pictures to see Marty Supreme.
Oh, yes.
And okay. It's not often that we go to the pictures. And then our son pointed out to us that because I have the Three app on my phone, I can get the Picture House pictures, which are nice. They're a bit like Everyman ones with sofas.
Oh, there's one in Uckfield. They're brilliant.
Three quid.
If
you've got a £3 to get in. So
hang on. If you've got what?
Three. If the phone company uses three.
Oh,
three
okay.
quid to get in. Anyway, that's not the end of it.
Not like Three Kids.
Very, very good film. Really good. I mean, he comes across as a proper film star already, Timothy Chalamet.
Yeah.
Really, really good in it.
Is that what he won the award for?
Yes, he won the Golden Globe or whatever it is we've just had. I'll tell you, it's a great film.
Huh.
And it's quite a long one. It's one of those ones where you just sort of root for him, but he's a bit of a wanker at the same time, but you can't help but like him. And there's all these different subplots in it. Sorry, I'm tapping the table there. All these different
subplots
in it. I'm just
so glad I got that back. Yeah. I was just waiting for that for about 3 years.
I mean, the makeup's amazing because he... When the camera is really close on him quite a lot, and his skin's a bit sort of pockmarked, and what's her name is in it, Gwyneth Paltrow.
Yes, Gwynny.
Interesting because she's sort of playing somebody her real age, and she's about 50 now. She hasn't been in anything for quite a while.
Yeah, she must be early 50s. Yeah. I thought easy.
And she said to him apparently, your skin's not looking too good. I've got something for that. I was thinking, some bloody cream that smells of your fanny, probably. But she said, I've got something for that. And then he had to point out to her that, no, he said, my skin's perfect. This is all makeup.
Oh, bless him.
But it's amazing. It's
see,
a great
people do
film.
Comment on people's skin.
Yeah, it's not just you stalking in the toilets.
It's a really, really good film. Highly recommend it.
I actually had a spell in Adelaide where there's not an awful lot to do if you don't like looking at churches. And so I basically took myself to the cinema quite a lot whilst I was waiting for the test match to start. Nuremberg.
Do they still do Super Tuesday?
I don't care because I was there every fucking night because there's nothing else to do. So Billy No Mates in fucking Adelaide. Nuremberg, fabulous.
Was good. It?
Absolutely fabulous. Russell Crowe is immense in it.
Bit scary.
Yeah, really, but you can't take your eyes off it.
Is he playing Herman Göring?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I saw the Bruce film.
I saw that too.
What did you think?
I loved it because I loved the music.
Yes, yeah.
But the storyline was a bit...
very good. It's a very small portion of his life, isn't it?
It's basically the story of when he records Nebraska, which is in between the river and Born to Run.
Born in the USA.
No, Born in the USA. And he just wants to do
that sort of early 80s.
Yeah, early 80s. Basically, he obviously has a bit of a breakdown, doesn't he? He has a bit of a breakdown, a load of issues, with his dad and that sort of stuff. And he goes away to this thing and he just sits with a guitar and a recorder and he basically just records acoustic versions for this album. There's some real classics on it now.
Yeah,
but
great.
But it's not really much of a story.
No, there isn't.
It's like...
It's just a nice way of listening
to the
music.
It's nice listening if you really love Bruce, like we do.
Yeah.
It was very enjoyable. But I think for the non-initiated, it's not really got enough of a story.
No.
And he had a bit of a thing with a woman at the time, but it didn't really work out. Mm. And obviously unrelated stuff with his dad, parents that were never going to get sorted.
Yeah.
And that kind of, you're like, hasn't really gone anywhere.
Mm.
But, all the time, I thought it was good that obviously he did, without realising it, he'd sort of written two albums in quite a one, and the second part of that album became Born in the USA.
Mm.
So that was all right. And then I saw the next Knives Out,
Oh, yes, we watched that.
That was on Netflix, wasn't it? I thought it was okay. I thought it was pretty good. And when I saw it first, I thought, well, then went back and thought, well, maybe.
Another good ensemble cast.
Oh, massive. Absolutely huge, yeah. So that was watching.
Well, I saw that shout out to Martin, who said about I Swear. I watched that. That was very good, that film.
Yeah.
And the other thing I saw, which was way, way better than the original, was The Running Man.
Oh, yeah, with, the original was with Arnie, isn't
it? Yeah, and very sort of cheap made. This is a big production.
Yeah.
With, is it Glenn Powell?
Glenn Powell, yeah. They're trying to make him into a bit of a leading man.
Yes.
But I think a lot of people think he just isn't leading man material.
He's a very good-looking boy.
I think he looks a bit plastic.
Well, I don't know who he is.
But a lot of them do.
Oh, don't you?
No, look,
this is good. Look him up.
Quick Google, and you can comment.
Yeah.
With my girl head on, which often goes on occasionally, I would think he's a good looking boy.
What's his name?
Glenn Powell. There's lots of good looking boys.
Glenn Powell. Yes, I know there are. Yeah.
But he's not.
I mean, we clearly could have made it in Hollywood back in the day if we'd have wanted to.
But otherwise,
he looks like all his features are in the middle of his face. His eyes are a bit small.
Oh, you're so picky. Yeah.
Well.
Yeah,
obviously
they
can afford to be.
Yeah, they're trying to make him. He was on Graham Norton, actually. He seemed a really good bloke.
Yeah.
I mean, he seemed a really, really good bloke.
I mean, I wouldn't. You know,
yeah.
Go on, say it. Kick him out of bed for a year. Go on, we know how shallow you are.
But he's not bad, but he's not massively hunky.
It's meant to be massively action-packed, isn't
it?
Yeah.
Yes, it's a proper Hollywood production with proper effects, unlike the first one, which was a bit tin pot Arnie special.
Yeah.
So that was good. That was way better than I thought it was going to be.
Right. So, I might do that then. I might take advantage of my £3 cinema.
You will
tickets.
Enjoy that. I'll give
that. That's great. Yeah, is that including the lounge?
Yeah.
God, I went to see the... Have we talked about The Wicked, second Wicked?
No.
Oh. The first time I saw it, I was right on the very front row of the cinema, so we were looking up, and I didn't enjoy that at all. And I went back with the boys after I'd spilt my popcorn everywhere, all over myself and all over the floor.
About 15 quid's worth of popcorn all over the floor.
I was fuming, yeah. And I think I preferred the first one. But it was okay. But
did you know, were these a whole new set of songs that you didn't know?
There was a few. I knew most of them, but they had put new ones in.
Is the first one the Wicked stage show and this totally new, or have they split the Wicked stage show between two films?
They've split between two.
Now, without trying to sound slightly dodgy, I was thinking about you when I was in Australia, because when I was coming out of The Running Man, I was coming out at the same time as Wicked 2, and I was sort of stuck in the door, and I spoke to these three girls and said, any good? And they said, no, we didn't think it was great.
No,
I kind of
agree,
I liked it. Dad asked you why you were talking to them.
Yeah, and then the police came.
Well, it looked like they were getting the sort of mace out and just about to sort of spray me in the eyes when I said, no, I've got a friend who's a bit of a Wicked fanatic.
I mean, I enjoyed it, but I didn't love
it. No, they didn't think it was anywhere near as good as the first one.
No, the first one. But I think the first one was so different and was so great.
Yeah, they thought
it was going to be hard to follow it anyway, but...
Yeah.
I still made my boys come and see it, and they did.
And did
so
they
that's
enjoy
pretty
it?
Impressive. Yeah, they preferred the first as well.
Yeah.
But
so there you go. So I've on the train on the way down here, I quickly knocked out a quiz.
Nope.
excuse me.
I knocked out a quick quiz. I thought, well, we ought to have a quick quiz. And so I think we'll have a quick quiz.
Okay. Am I going to hate you or am I going to like you?
I think you might hate me, unfortunately.
Excellent.
But, you know, it's a quiz based around our demographic. We all know what our demographic is. Not necessarily in this room, but our listeners.
Oh, I got Bruno Mars tickets.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Oh, just so to make yourself sound younger.
Yeah. I am so young and hip and trendy and aware.
I went to see... you saw, didn't I? I went with Pete to see Biffy Clyro.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm not
slightly
even
jealous.
Not even a massive fan of him, if I'm honest, because he asked me if I wanted
like
to
them.
Go.
I like them.
And I said, they're not really my cup of tea.
Mm-hmm.
I could see why you would like them. It's very anthemic. I can see that if you
like... Bit jingly jangly.
Yeah. But lots of big chords rather
big
than... Anyway.
Chords.
But then his daughter wasn't very well and she wasn't meant to be going. He just said, do you fancy going?
And he's probably unhappy at the moment because Palace are a bit of a basket case. So he probably needs some...
I'll tell you off air. He just makes you laugh, doesn't he?
He's a sort of perfect bloke. Peter Blaney, because I know you listen.
We need to get him
we
on.
We need to get you on here, certainly on the sports one, because this man is gold.
I'll tell you.
This man is comedy gold without realising he is.
Really making me laugh, you know, without trying.
Yes,
you
know, I know. He's a very really funny bloke.
Anyway, so on to this. So they were very good. On onto this.
We
this
haven't
quiz.
Actually mentioned about a certain football match on Saturday.
No,
that
we're
occurred.
Not. I was just going to skim over.
I did wonder at one stage the fact that whilst I was away, not only was a cricket bad, but of course a certain football team decided not to win a single game whilst I was away for 8 weeks, and I've now looked almost to relegation certainties. And then, of course, I'm offered a ticket to the beautiful Tottenham Hotspur Stadium. So I think, oh, I haven't been for ages. All right, I'll go. And I've got to the stage where I think, you know, you sort of say, that's the sort of game we'll win, because that's just typical us. We'll be useless against everyone else, but that's we're bound to win against someone better than us. And then I thought, well, we're so shit, I don't even think we'll do that. But anyway, I went. You were dog shit. We actually played very well. But I did wonder at one stage when the ball went in the 93rd minute, am I too old at my age, nearing a not a miles away from a landmark birthday, to be standing on the seats, leaning over the banister, giving the V's up and the wanker signs to all the Tottenham fans in the boxes?
Do you know, I was watching the Man City Man United game, and I was just looking at the crowd and all the hand gestures and the hatred that it brings out in you.
I am hugging middle-aged men who I've never met before and I will never meet again. And we are literally, it's just like a love fest.
It's weird, isn't it? Do you feel that? Does that rage get to you when you're watching? When you're going to a live game?
I have thought before now. And of course, I have thought, if you could drop a load of petrol on those people and chuck a match in it, it wouldn't be the worst thing in the world.
Do you do all the wanker signs and all of that?
No, because when I go...
Yeah. Well, I know you do, yeah.
If you're in the away end, there's only a few thousand of you, and so you are close to the opposition supporters.
Right.
Whereas whenever I go, I'm so far away from them, there's no point.
Right.
But it's funny, really, because...
Going away is so much better than going at home.
We were terrible, and yet still had something like 18 shots, of which 8 were on target, so... Yeah. I don't know. I don't want to talk about
it. I just remember going to see a game and Liverpool fans were right by the Man City. The hatred in these people's eyes, both back and forth. And a guy fell. He had his son. He fell on his face and he had blood. And they were all like, ha, 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 wanker signs and all of that. Like, he's fallen over in front of his kid.
I didn't actually, there was
he's
a thing.
Got blood on his face.
There is a thing, actually, because when we come out the ground and we get... There's obviously no chance of walking back up Seven Sisters Road. So we get pushed towards Northumberland Park.
Yeah.
So we're all pushed towards there. You think, oh, fuck it, okay, I'll have to go home this way. And then you suddenly get towards the tube station and you realise there's a ton of police in the middle of the road. And then, of course, you're on one side. All the Tottenham fans are literally on the other side of the street with a great big load of coppers in the middle. And, of course, everyone's giving load, everyone sort of gestures and being incredibly rude. And the language is just awful as they're sort of going down the thing. Anyway, we finally get on the tube. So they're bringing tubes, long tubes in, and basically putting a load of West Ham fans on the one tube, load of Tottenham fans on the other tube. And they're getting them out of the area like that. And this bloke rocks up. It is a West Ham fan. And he looks a bit of a pretty boy. And he's got a kid with him. And I swear, his kid can't have been more than 3 or 4. And he's got him, and he's got him in his shirt, and he's coming. You think, oh, okay, it's quite sweet. So he gets on the tube. He gets on the train. And one bloke, just very innocently, says, do you enjoy it? And he looked at his kid. He didn't answer. He said, I bet you learnt some words today. This bloke's dad looked so unimpressed that this person would possibly assume that he would be learning bad words going to a massive London derby, totally underage. And he says, how dare you ask my child that? You're thinking, you over-pompous wanker. what do you think they're going to learn? And I have to say, language.
It's awful. It's so bad.
I ended up taking the boys behind the goal at the old White Hart Lane because it's the only tickets we could get. And they were probably 10 and 7. Mm. And I think I must have heard the C word 1,000 times. And this bloke next to us kept saying it. And every time he said it, he kept saying, I'm so sorry, mate. And then literally 10 seconds later, he couldn't stop himself. Couldn't stop himself.
Oh, no. I know. I had two blokes behind me who were just so convinced that the ref was so bastard, he was going to do something. I was thinking, and certain bits you're watching, that's clearly a foul. I know we don't like them. I know we hate Tottenham, but that's clearly a foul. Shut up. You fucking hate. You're thinking, oh, I've got another 85 minutes of this.
Oh, no. Love them. Right, okay.
Quiz me up,
quiz.
Baby.
Quick quiz. So this quiz is, I've only 12 questions. Ooh. Classic sitcoms.
Classic sitcoms. Just write The Good Life for everyone.
Just okay. Classic sitcoms. I don't know if I've got The Good Life.
Can I see your page?
I have. I went on about The Good Life too much during over Christmas, didn't I?
So, Felicity Kendalled yourself out.
Yeah, yeah. So, okay, so just quick. So, 12 questions, couple of bonuses thrown in there as well. Okay, ready. Question one. What is the name of the fictional town in Kent where Dad's Army is set?
Looks like... just like West Ham United, I'm going 1-0 up.
Okay. George and Mildred.
Oh, blimey.
Oh, God.
Was a spin-off from which popular ITV sitcom? And for a bonus point.
Oh, piss off.
There was a second spin-off from it as well.
What, in America?
No, on ITV.
Oh, hang on.
There was a second spin-off. There was two spin-offs.
Oh, yes, there was, yes. Yeah. Oh, I'll get that, okay. All right, yeah, I got that.
Okay. You might get this one, Loney.
Yeah.
That was out a few months ago, and it was on one of these like bizarre channels, yeah. And it had the last two or three episodes, and I still found it really, really sad what happened at the end of it.
Really?
The first one, yeah.
Yeah.
I thought, no, I know what's going to happen, but I was still really sad.
What was the first name of the two protagonists in Stepmom and Son?
First name
of the two protagonists. I've got quite a good bonus here as well.
Oh, great.
What was the name of the horse?
Oh, fuck on that. oh, fuckity fuck fuck. What's the name of the... Oh. I'm going to have to write horse because I'm going to have to come back to that.
Right. Peter Salis, the voice of Wallace in the Aardman cartoon. What was the name of his character that he played in Last of the Summer Wine?
Oh. I thought you were going to say, what's the name of the programme, not his character. Lenny, can I get half a point?
Half a point, half a point.
Well, I did say in Last of the Summer Wine,
I know,
so
but
you can't really
you
get
gave
half
it
a
away.
Point for that.
It's your fault for giving it away.
Okay.
His character. Oh, I can't remember. I don't think I've got 1 point yet.
Which three sites did Basil suggest Mrs. Richards might want to see from her Torquay hotel bedroom window?
Three sites?
Yeah. When. She said, you said there was going to be a room with a view. And he said, that is the view. And she said, what is it? And he said, it's Torquay. And she said, well, it's not good enough. And he says, well, what would you rather see out of a Torquay hotel bedroom? And then he names three things.
All right.
Did you just make up this quiz because you knew this? You didn't have to Google it or anything. You just made this quiz up in your head.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's how it works.
Because he knows the answers before he writes them down.
Blimey.
I'm taking an educational guess and my dad will be pleased with me.
Name Frank and Betty's daughter in Some Mothers Do Have Them.
I haven't got one.
You often say that and then you do get them.
No, but this time...
Yeah, because basically there's 12 questions, so somehow she'll mangle a way to get at least six.
I know, yeah. What was the name of Fletcher's young cellmate in Porridge, played by Richard Beckinsale?
Oh, he was lovely, wasn't he?
And what, for a bonus...
Not half as nice as his daughter.
She's a bit bonkers, though, isn't she?
Bit skinny. Yeah.
Very skinny.
And a
bit
skinny. For a bonus point, what ITV comedy did he also star in? So he was in Porridge, and he was also in a very famous ITV sitcom.
He was, which we talked about earlier. Loney, talked about it earlier. Come around. In there. About Rigsby.
I can't remember.
Okay, here's the next one then.
But then you're fucking hopeless.
What was the name of the company
that
Reggie Perrin worked for?
I'm too young.
No, you're not.
You're 10 years older than me.
No, I'm not.
No, I'm not.
You're not.
I'm absolutely not.
And for a bonus point, what was the name of Reggie Perrin's boss?
I haven't got one.
Two letters.
Two letters. Think.
BJ.
Just up a bit, up a bit.
AJ. CJ. Excellent. Thanks.
CJ.
Give AJ a BJ whilst you're watching Reggie Perrin.
Right. Still, this is all in the 70s, have you noticed?
Yeah,
haven't
I?
Name the store manager with the big ears in Are You Being Served? And it's not young Mr. Grace. He reported into young Mr. Grace.
I can see his face.
Yeah.
No. I'm actually going to put my pen down.
We're into the
80s now.
Excellent.
What was the name of the Gestapo officer in LOLO?
Oh, fuck that. See, I'm not sure I know that one.
You know this.
I was thinking of these characters. They had some great names. The little blonde waitress was called Mimi LeBonc.
It's only if you like smutty 70s comics.
How many questions are there?
Two more.
Two more, I think. Okay, ready? What was the name of the holiday camp in Heidi High? The company. It was based on Butlins and Ponsons.
I remember that. Hello, campers.
What was the name?
What's the name
of the holiday camp company? That wasn't really, Butlins.
I know the answer.
And it wasn't Pontins.
Well, then you're really fucked, aren't you? Then you're doubly fucked.
It was also an electrical shop as well.
Okay.
Final one. Which southwest London suburb was the Good Life set in?
Oh, no idea.
She used to say it all the time, Tom, Barbara, not in. And then she'd say the name of it.
I don't remember. How would I remember?
So there was one on The Good Life, you were lying.
Yeah, I know, I forgot that. I needed number 12. I thought I'll get one that's really easy and then Loney might be able to get it. But
not one.
Yeah. Okay, here we go then.
Okay.
Answers. What was the name of the fictional town in Kent where Dad's army was set?
Warmington-on-Sea.
Very good.
Did you get that?
I copied him.
I love the honesty.
Well, we're at that
2026,
point now.
2026, honesty.
But it's got me off the
George
zero.
And Mildred was a spin-off from which popular ITV sitcom?
Man About the House.
I've heard of it. But
and for a bonus point, what was the other one?
Robin's Nest.
Exactly. 2 points there, Simo.
Oh, I'm cooking the gas already.
Mm-hmm.
Loney, can you remember the first names of the two protagonists in Steptoe and Son?
Is one George?
No.
No, I don't. That's Rainbow.
No, I don't.
Harold.
Yeah.
And Albert.
Albert. Well done.
I meant Albert when I said George.
But then you have half a point.
Thanks.
Can you remember the name of the horse?
Oh, is it Trigger?
It's Hercules.
Hercules, that's, yeah. It was, yeah, someone called it a bike after.
Yeah. What was the name of Peter Salas's character in Last of the Summer Wine?
I've gone for Foggy.
No, it was Clegg.
Clegg is the other one. Campo Foggy.
Compo Clegg.
Compo Clegg. Yeah, okay. Do I get half for that?
No.
So,
can you remember the three sites that Basil suggested Mrs. Richards might want to see from a talky hotel bedroom
I've
window?
Just gone the Leaning Tower of Pisa.
No.
Hanging Gardens of Babylon.
That's one. You can have a point at that.
Pyramids.
No.
The Grand Canyon.
No. Sydney Opera House or the Hanging Gardens of Babylon. Oh. Herds of wildebeest.
That was with old Joan Sanderson, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. And what famous sitcom was she in? Lone? No, I'm not even going to go down that road.
No.
She was in Please Sir, wasn't she?
She was, yeah.
She was besotted by the headmaster.
Yes.
Can you remember the name of Frank and Betty's daughter?
Carol.
Jessica.
Jessica. Jessica.
That, yeah, now that you say it.
See, you say it, she loves it.
I do know Jessica. When you say it. I remember Clegg, and now, yeah, but...
What was the name of Flesh's young cellmate in Porridge?
Lenny...
No.
Godba.
Lenny Godba.
Godba.
And for a bonus point, what famous ITV comedy was Richard Beckinsale also in?
We were talking about it earlier before we started. Rising Damp.
Oh.
I gave you a clue. You can't say I didn't.
You did.
You can't say I didn't.
I get half point.
Because you heard it was mentioned today.
What was the name of the company that Reggie Perrin worked for?
Sunshine Desserts.
Sunshine Desserts. And his boss wasn't called BJ or AJ.
CJ.
CJ.
Got that one.
Well done, Lone. Good one.
Got that one.
I didn't get where I was today. Can you name the store manager with the big ears in Are You Being Served?
No, I can see his face, but I don't know his name.
It's either Mr. Humphreys or Mr. Rumbold.
Mr. Rumbold. Mr. Humphreys says,
Humphrey. Was there a Hargreaves as well in there?
No.
It might have been there. It was Rumbold, wasn't it?
It was Rumbold. I don't think any of you got this, did they? The Gestapo officer in Hello, Hello?
Hair flick.
No.
No.
See, I just came out with it.
I never really liked that.
No, nor did I.
What's the name of the holiday camp company in Heidi High?
Maplins.
Very good, Lone.
Oh, yes.
You are a star.
Oh, I'm amazing at this.
You're so good.
And finally, which Southwest London suburb was a Good Life set in? I gave you Southwest London as a code. Can you remember?
Surbiton.
Ah, well done.
Tom, Barbara, this is Surbiton.
Well,
I don't even know if we want the answers. No. I think Stuart's probably got more than 12.
I won.
Bonuses.
Yeah, I think it's safe to say you won.
I won.
I'm sure our demographic probably did.
I'm
right
sure they would.
They would have done. Uh-huh.
All I can say is I'm immensely pleased with myself for the first quiz of the year that I stormed into an unassailable lead.
Well, do you remember you could do, if you wanted to,
a quiz.
Music quiz?
Mm-hmm.
Based on the 80s. We've done 60s and 70s.
Okay.
You could do 80s and that if you wanted. Or I could just do it.
I'll do it.
Duran.
Mm-hmm. I'll do it.
Power Station.
So you think of a band and then you come up with three of their hits.
It's okay. I've got it covered.
No, you haven't. That's
I have. I'll do it my way.
Stuart,
actually, did you see Jessie J singing My Way on Jules Holland? That was her voice was amazing. It's really, really good.
She was just massive for a bit. I mean, she was all over the London Olympics, wasn't she?
Mm.
Yeah.
My kids used
what
to love
a voice.
Her.
Singing with Queen and everything.
Yeah.
She hasn't been well, has she?
No, she hasn't. Well. But just YouTube that, My Way, from Hootenanny, whatever, Jules Holland. It was really very good. Yeah.
I didn't see Hootenanny this year. She must be one of the first years.
Olivia Dean was on there as well. She was brilliant.
Was she? Did I hear they had a load of old...
Oh,
wankers on.
Ronnie Wood. It was cringe. It was cringe him doing what he did. Yeah, no.
Yeah, apparently I heard that.
And Lulu.
Apparently the Stones might not be able to go out. Apparently Keith Richards can't keep up anymore.
Could he not?
No.
He's bloody old.
He's bloody old.
Poor old Adam's going to be.
He's going to be heartbroken.
Gutted, isn't he?
Heartbroken. Seeing him 648 times in the last 10 years.
Still, maybe it's what he needs. He needs to go cold turkey and just get off them and get on to somebody else. Anyway, we've
back
done an hour and 7 minutes.
Oh,
here.
Lovely.
We've whittled on quite a lot. So, we're going to go and we'll be back with Loney's quiz.
Okay, let's not big it up. Let's just relax. Back with her quiz.
When we see you next time. Yeah. So,
ciao for now.
See
cheerio.
You soon. Bye-bye.
HomePod's Happy Hour was recorded in the United Kingdom and is fully owned by Stewhead Publishing Limited, whose owner is an absolute bellend.